In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." You know, one of my favorite characters in the New Testament is Peter. Peter, I actually identify a lot with Peter. I am impulsive like he was. I am quick to speak to the Lord. Yes, I'm with you, Lord. I'm with you, and yet I'll turn around and just stumble right over those words. Peter did that time and again. You know, in fact, if you look at Peter's life before the cross, it actually was pretty remarkable. I mean, God worked through Peter. Jesus worked through Peter, and Peter did some pretty amazing things. He healed sick people. How many people here have healed sick people? He raised the dead. He raised the dead. There's not too many of us. I know I've never risen the dead in the name of Jesus. I hope to one day. I hope to have that faith to be able to do that. But I didn't do that. He did those things before the cross. In fact, you find in, for instance, in chapter 14, we find that Paul, Peter sees Jesus coming on the water. It says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost!'" They were freaked out. I mean, here they are, they're rowing out in the middle of this storm late at night, and they see this figure walking on the water. What are you supposed to think, right? You ever seen anybody walking on water? We've heard about it, right? But we've never seen it. And this figure's walking on water, and all of them are crying like little babies. They're losing it. And then Jesus says, he says, "Be of good cheer. It's me. Relax. All right. Don't be afraid." And Peter answered him. He says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he doesn't even hesitate. Jesus tells him, he sees Jesus. He realizes Jesus is walking. It's his master. It's his rabbi. He wants to follow after him. And the first thing he says is, "Lord, if it's you, let me come out on the water." None of the other disciples had that reaction, but Peter did. And what does Jesus say? He doesn't say, no, that's just for gods. No, he says, "No, come on out. The water's nice." And he says, so then he says, "Come." And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Here he is. I mean, he had a great act of faith by going out of the water. Many of you would be ready to just jump out of the water. I mean, most of us in that boat, having never seen that before, knowing maybe that Jesus is the Messiah, but we ourselves to walk onto that water, that took a lot of faith, didn't it? It took a lot of faith. And yet, boom, right out of the bat, I mean, he fears and he's sinking. And the Lord says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And then, you know, just a couple chapters over in Matthew, you find Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am, the Son of Man, am? So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then just a few verses later, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. And then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Peter did a great act one minute, and then the next minute, he's falling all over himself and stumbling. He's doing something great for God, and the next minute, he's on the floor, having tripped over his own feet. Anyone relate to that? I know I relate to that. I relate to that a lot. You know, at the same time, if we looked at Peter before the cross, we would be convinced that he was an advanced Christian. As I said, I mean, the fact is he through the power of Jesus, he believed Jesus raised the dead. He believed Jesus to heal people. He showed a faith, a very strong faith in him, and he went. I mean, he left everything, right? He left all of his nets. He left his business. He followed Jesus. He went above and beyond the call of duty on time and time again and confessed him as Lord. And yet we find when he's at the cross, or just before the cross, sorry, he says, Jesus tells him, you're gonna deny me. You're going to deny me. You find that, for instance, in Mark 14, we find Jesus says to Peter, he says to the whole group, he says, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. And Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. He was convinced of himself. He knew himself. He figured there was just no way that he was going to deny his Lord, because he was going to go right to the death. He was ready to die for Jesus. He was going to die with Jesus, and he was convinced if that was what it took, he was going to go. But he was going to stay beside him. Everyone else could run. Everyone else could be a chicken, but he was not going to be a chicken. And Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you today, even this night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently, and he said, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. And Peter was convinced. At that point, Peter felt that he knew. And yet God saw something. God saw that Peter had not lost all confidence in himself. Did you get that? Peter did not lose all confidence in himself. Before the cross, he still thought that he could measure up, that he on his own could be faithful, that in his struggle he could stand up and do it. You know, how many of us, when we go through, probably all of us here, want to do right, look to do right, and yet it seems like we trip over our own feet and we're not able to do it. And Peter was at that point. He figured, hey, I can do this. I can do this. And then we all know what happened, right? Peter ends up doing the very thing that he didn't want to do. He ends up going and denying him three times. And yet, you know, Jesus didn't give up on him. In that third denial, Jesus looks at him with a look of love, and Peter is a broken man. And he weeps, and he runs away, and he cries, and he sobs, and he cries. I mean, the scripture doesn't tell us how long, but it had to be a while. Because what happens right after that? But he has to see his master, his Christ, on the cross, crucified, and then he's in the grave. And along with all the other disciples, he doesn't have necessarily the hope, because all their hopes and dreams were in their Messiah. He was on the cross. He's in the grave. And somehow they forget what Jesus said, that he had predicted all this stuff. And he is just weeping bitterly, and over again in his head, no doubt it's going, Lord, why? When it counted, I denied you. When it counted, I cursed you. Why? 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 When Jesus was raised from the dead, he's on the beach, and he says, Peter, do you love me? He does it three times, and Peter says, you know that I love you. You know all things, Lord. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. He, along with the disciples, were told by Jesus to wait in the upper room until the Holy Spirit would come in power, until the day of Pentecost. We know what happened, right? Acts chapter 2, there's a sermon that's unleashed out of Peter that results in 3,000 baptisms in one day. 3,000 baptisms in one day. You know, Peter was a changed man. He no longer figured that he knew it all. He didn't think that he had all the answers. He also didn't have any illusion about the fact that he was going to be righteous or he was going to follow Jesus through his own strength. He knew that he was nothing. He had no strength in himself. And the only way that he was going to follow Jesus is if he gave himself heart, mind, and soul to him. And when he did it, the Holy Spirit filled him in a way that hadn't been seen before in this group of men. And God tells us that at the end of time, this is going to happen again, the latter rain. Let me challenge you this evening. Let me challenge you to put aside the things of this world, to put aside the distractions of this world, to count the cost and to recognize what good does it do for a man to gain his whole soul, to gain the whole world, and to lose his soul. Let's be like Peter once he realized that there was nothing he could do of himself, that in and of himself he was a failure, but with Jesus he had everything. With Jesus he had all power. With Jesus, he had peace, joy, and love. And it's through Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you and I, like Jesus, like Peter, can be used by God to do great things. You know what? God today wants to do miracles. God today wants to raise the dead. We don't talk about that a lot, but God wants to do it today. And he wants to do it through you. He wants to do it through me. But you know what? He doesn't want more than that. He doesn't want to lose you. If he gives you that power and you are not emptied of self, it will destroy you. It will cause you to lose your eternity. But when we're emptied of self, like Peter, and we lose all confidence in ourselves, he can bestow that power on us because he knows that no matter what he does through us, we will praise him and others will praise him and his name will be glorified. And what is my wish and hopefully my hope and what is hopefully your hope, Jesus will come soon. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for Peter. I thank you that the Bible isn't full of all kinds of perfect men and women who have never done anything wrong. I thank you that the Bible is full of examples like Peter, of men and women who were determined to do what was right, but maybe had things a little off. But through your power, through your Spirit, you can come and live inside of us and come and do a wonderful work in us so that through just 12 men, Lord, you spread the gospel to the known world and you turn the world upside down. 12 common men, men that the world would have given away and thrown aside as not very special. But through you, Lord, they did amazing things. Lord, I pray that same thing for us. Work through us. Work through us through a spirit, through repentance, Lord. Work through us through our laying everything at your feet, being willing to weep like Peter wept, being willing to be emptied of self so that you would fill us completely. So that when others look at us, they don't see me, they see Jesus. Lord, that's my prayer for each one of us. Fill us, Lord, and finish your work through us as tools in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.